This is day 11 of the 28 days to better selling with Shane Gibson from closingbigger.net. Today we're going to continue on from yesterday. We're going to focus a bit more on the needs analysis. I know your responsibility or your assignment yesterday was to brainstorm all the possible questions you could ask that were either open-ended, closed, requests, or leading questions, and then organize them from least confidential to most, so that in essence you create that funnel type questioning process where you naturally build rapport. Now here's why. Today we're going to focus on how to conduct a needs analysis, not just sort of what to ask, but how to ask it in what sequence and why, just to give you a little bit more on how to perfect your ability to gain rapport, connect with your client or your prospect. Number one, 80% of the questions you're going to ask in a needs analysis are actually rapport-building questions or questions that you might already know the answer to, but you're getting the clients to discover the answer themselves and develop a context at which they understand all the applications of what you could do for them and also the challenges in your business. When I finished a successful needs analysis, often the questions or the comments from the clients were, "Thanks a lot, we should have sat down and asked those questions of each other a long time ago." In other words, you're not just asking questions that waste their time or questions that you could find information out on their website or things you should already know when you get there, but you're asking questions to help them dig deeper into their business or personally if you're selling to individuals like financial services or even a pair of running shoes. Asking them questions to understand their full needs and what their core pains are associated with that, and even help them understand what the price they're paying for not moving forward. So here's some tips on conducting the needs analysis. Number one, again, make sure it's written out. I know some people say that makes you seem like an amateur, but I think it helps you make sure you don't miss any key questions and that it flows in an effective way. Many times when I don't use a needs analysis, I find myself in the parking lot or walking away from their office and realizing that, you know what, I forgot to ask that critical question. So we want to make sure we have it. Now, there's a couple ways you can start the needs analysis. This is assuming this is an initial meeting, so either on the phone or in person. Let's talk about in person. Often in person, when I'm doing a needs assessment with someone, I don't pull out a little flip chart with me and start asking them questions. What I'll do is I'll have my notes in my bag or my questions in my bag or my laptop. I'll have the first question or two memorized, and then as they begin to explore and answer, and often my first question always is, where's your business heading in the next 18 months? I want to get a general understanding of where they're going and what their goals are. As they begin to expand upon that question, I then quickly say, would you mind if I take a few notes? I like to write my questions down so I don't forget any. It's very disarming. It means I'm not so slick or well prepared that I'm there to close them. I'm actually just there to learn a bit more about their business, but I've actually made some notes in advance as to what I want to know. As I walk through this, couple of the key things we want to do. Number one, don't try to answer their questions for them. Let them expand upon it. Remember, they're exploring and learning about what you can do for them and even some of their business challenges in their own context. When you say to a friend, hey, you should do this or you should do that, or someone says to you, oh, by the way, you know, you probably want to do the following to improve the way you relate to people, often it comes across as a judgment. And because we haven't seen that lesson through our own eyes, it doesn't work. On the other side, when the client or the individual, through questioning, identifies a weakness, a gap, or a challenge, and they can articulate it themselves, they buy into the need to really have a solution for it. Next thing is never, ever, ever sell during the needs analysis process. What happens is you've opened people up, you've built rapport, they're sharing with us, and all of a sudden they give us a vital piece of information like what their budget is or one of their core challenges, and we jump all over them and tell them how we can help them. What occurs there is that it seems insincere, and they realize we're not really there to identify their core needs and challenges or help advise them. We're just there to close a deal, and we really don't care what their needs are. So during the needs analysis, what you don't want to do is try to sell. You want to ask great questions, direct them. I've even had customers or potential clients say, okay, great, now I have a challenge here, so what can you do for me here? Often what I'll do is I'll say, well, that's a great question. There's several things I can do. And if we can move through the rest of this needs analysis, I'll give you a summary at the end based on what you've told me as to what I think the best direction we can go here. So again, maintaining control and even making sure the client doesn't pull you off message so you get all the core information you need before you say or tell them what you feel the solution is. Remember, we're not just identifying pains or challenges. We're also identifying values of that client. We're also identifying corporate culture. We're also identifying history and buying strategy, and as we go through a good needs analysis, we're establishing massive rapport and trust. That's the big goal. So as I walk through my questions, then at the very end, as I conclude and get all the information I have, there's a couple of mistakes that people often make. They get to their last question, they get all the information they think they need, and they say, thank you, I'll get back to you and write your proposal. But they've missed the opportunity. If that senior executive or that client is still willing to talk, let them talk and expand. Once you have rapport, they'll often share more confidential and important information we didn't even know we needed or weren't looking for that helps expand our knowledge of the client. In addition to that, at the very end, I ask two questions at the end of every needs analysis. The first one is, do you have any questions for me? So thank you, do you have any questions for me? And what that does is because we have asked so many questions and they've developed a dialogue with us and they're looking at their business and us in different context, they may have other questions to help them really understand what we can do for them, but also they might have questions to help us expand our knowledge and help them see a greater need for our solution. Then the very last question I ask them, and this is important because I've said, remember, don't sell during the needs analysis process. Is at the end of the needs analysis, I get permission to sell. So what I'll say is, based upon what you've told me so far, I'll thank them again, ask them if they have any questions for me. If it's no, or they have a couple, I answer them. Then I say, based upon what you've told me so far, would you mind if I give you my thoughts on what I think we can do for you? And the reason why I do this is then I can summarize how I see our solution working for them and confirm that that's something that meets their values so that when I get back to the office or when I write them a proposal, what occurs is that I'm just confirming what we've already agreed upon instead of writing a proposal where I'm shooting it in the dark, hoping I hit the target. So in essence, it's a confirmation proposal instead of a sales proposal. We already have the deal. We've agreed to agree. And lastly, and this kind of goes back to what we've talked about on follow-up before, is don't leave, or at least don't finish that meeting, if at all possible, until you've set the follow-up time. Too many times we have great needs analysis. We've got an agreement as to what they need and what we need to write in a proposal. We say, I'll write your proposal. We don't define when we'll write it. We don't define how long they need to read it. And we don't set an appointment time to follow up. And then we end up paying telephone tag and losing the deal. So always set this next step, even after the needs analysis. So you don't really have a specific assignment today per se, but I want you to think of these key lessons when you're doing needs analysis with clients. Remember, start with general open questions, then move into ones that form an opinion, then to confidential questions. Never sell during the needs analysis process. Try not to answer the clients for the client. Allow them to expand. And again, at the end, ask them if they have any questions for you to make sure we're on the right track. And lastly, get permission to propose a solution and always set that follow-up time after you move away from that needs analysis to make sure that you've got moving forward to the next step in the sales process and you keep momentum. So that's day 11 to 28 days of better selling with Shane Gibson from closingbigger.net. Tomorrow, we're going to get into how to use Twitter as a prospecting and customer engagement tool as a sales professional and some of the key Twitter etiquettes that we need to really understand to make sure that when we get out there, we're having a positive impact on our brand and engaging our customers instead of creating ourselves more problems. So again, tomorrow is Twitter for sales professionals, and this is Shane Gibson with closingbigger.net.